يا إلهي أئمة يطهر عليهم السلام، تمام أصحابي أئمة عليهم السلام، تمام علماء فقهاء شهداء صلحاء اپنے تمام مرحومین مؤمنین مؤمنات کو مد نظر رکھتے ہوئے، مخصوصاً آج کی شب جو کہ ایک طرح سے نوچندی جمعرات بھی کہی جاتی ہے، اولین شب جمعہ ماہ محرم الحرام کی، شب زیارت امام ابا عبداللہ الحسین علیہ السلام بھی ہے آج کی شب، تمام انبیاء الہی تمام ملائکہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کی زیارت کو پہنچتے ہیں آج کی شب، بہت بابرکت شب ہے، اور نہ صرف آج کی بلکہ ہر شب جمعہ امام حسین کی شب ہے، اپنے تمام مرحومین کو یاد کرتے ہوئے، رحم اللہ من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات، اللہم صل علی محمد وآل محمد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد للہ رب العالمین، الرحمن الرحیم، مالک یوم الدین، ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین، اہدنا الصراط المستقیم، صراط الذین انعمت علیہم غیر المغضوب علیہم ولا الضالین. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، قل هو اللہ احد، اللہ الصمد، لم یلد ولم یولد ولم یکن له کفوا احد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون، ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون، ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، رحمة للعالمين، سيدنا ومولانا، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الهداة المهديين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين، من يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, salamun alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I will like to mix a bit of Urdu as well, based on the requests that I have been receiving. But inshallah ta'ala, as a reminder to us all that tonight, being a Thursday night, the first Thursday night of the year, and a night for dua, a night for connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a night on the calendar week that is associated with Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Not only in the 10 days of Muharram, not only in the months of Muharram and Safar. If you want the Muharram flavor every week, you come to the Husayniyah on the Thursday night and attend the majlis of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. You will feel you're in Muharram. Because out of the whole week, there's only one night that we've been recommended to recite Ziyarat Warith of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. And that is Thursday night. It's very important we make this part of our calendar. Hamare yahan ek culture hai ke hum maamulan Muharram Safar aur 8th Rabiul Awwal pe Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ko alvida kehte hain aur phir retreat kar jate hain. بیک سیٹ لے لیتے ہیں، پیچھے ہٹ جاتے ہیں. امام حسین علیہ السلام نے اپنی قربانی صرف مہینوں کے لیے نہیں دی تھی، محرم سفر کے لیے نہیں دی تھی، بلکہ ہم سے یہ کہا گیا ہے کہ ہر موقع جو بھی اسلامک کیلنڈر ایئر میں ایک اہمیت والا دن ہے، اس دن ہمارے اعمال میں زیارت ابا عبداللہ الحسین آپ کو ملے گی. عید کا دن ہے، زیارت امام حسین پڑھیں. یوم لیلۃ القدر ہے، زیارت امام حسین پڑھیں. عید فطر ہو، عید الاضحیٰ ہو، امام حسین کی زیارت پڑھیں، یوم عرفہ ہو، دعائے امام حسین پڑھیں، زیارت امام حسین پڑھیں، رمضان کی لیالی القدر میں امام حسین کی زیارت پڑھیں، رجب اور شعبان کی خوشحالیوں میں امام حسین کی زیارت پڑھیں۔ اس طرح خدا نے اور پیغمبر نے اور اہل بیت نے ہمارے لیے ایک برنامہ تربیت کا رکھا ہے۔ The Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam have kept a plan for us to be in touch with Imam al-Hussein throughout the year. It's very important we take energies from these nights so that we can sustain this connection with Aba Abdullah throughout the year. It should not stop on the 8th of Rabiul Awwal. It should not stop end of Safar. And it's very important that we reflect on one very important point. The night that is Thursday night, when the break of dawn happens, when the Fajr comes in, it is the day of Friday. The day of Friday is Yawmul Jumu'ah. It's the day of Ijtima'ah. It's the day of Jama'ah. It's the day of gathering. But it's also, in our calendar week, the day of the Imam of our time, Sahib al-Asri wa Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Faraj. We say this, right, in the ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn, Imam Sahib al-Zaman, right? That hadha yawm al-jum'ah wa huwa yawmuk. This is your day, O our master, Imam Sahib al-Zaman. The question for me and you is, what is the connection between Muharram, Imam Hussein, and between Imam al-Sahib al-Zaman, Imam al-Mahdi, and his zuhur? These are not arbitrary. This assigning the night of Thursday night for Imam Hussein, assigning the day of Friday for Imam Mahdi, it's not just arbitrary. It's not just, okay, kisi ka dil ne chaha ki Imam Hussein ki raat Thursday night ho, aur kisi ka dil chaha. Nahin, aisa nahin. Iski ek haqeeqat hai piche. And the haqeeqat is this. If you want to get to Friday, the day of Imam Sahib al-Zaman, if you want to prepare for the zuhur of Imam al-Zaman, you have to go through Thursday night, you have to go through Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. There is no way you can be a muntazir of Imam al-Mahdi till you are an azadar of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That's the haqeeqat. That's the reality. Till the time you're not a Husseini, you cannot be a Mahdawi. So a reminder on this Thursday night and Friday, as we remember, inshallah, we'll recite Ziyarat Ashura. I'm not sure if you'll recite Ziyarat Warith as well. But let's remember the Imam of our time again tonight. And always connect our Aza with the Imam of the time. Inshallah, let's offer our condolences to him and to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam with the recital of the dua of the 12th Imam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'a. وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. شب جمعہ ہے، اس سے بہتر صلوات پڑھیے. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Dear brothers and sisters, last night we had this opportunity to discuss a very important topic, and I do realize and I do appreciate your cooperation and understanding and coming along and walking with me through some of the very important points that were raised yesterday. Yesterday's discussion was about understanding Tawheed, which literally means considering God to be one. And we talked about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the need to bring things back to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
to hold things as united and connected and unified under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the way we see the world around us, the taqween, the system of creation, from the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live in this system of creation, which is the tashri'a, the sharia, the way of life that He has given us, so that when we join them together and walk the walk based on the pathways that Allah has created for us to be successful, we can achieve the tawfiq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. Brothers and sisters, this discussion was very important, and I do apologize, yesterday I did go over time, but I will be returning back to this discussion over and over. Inshallah, this was important for me to lay the groundwork for the successive sessions that we will be having, inshallah ta'ala. Towards the end as well, I ended up talking about the taghut and the tughyan. And I talked about the idea that when people go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they go away from the message and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go over bounds. They sidestep the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that literally is what tughyan means. Tughyan is when a river overflows its banks. And when a person overflows and sidesteps their boundaries that Allah has set for them based on sharia, based on the tashri'a, then they are going into the realm of taghut and becoming taghut. And it automatically switches away from the nur towards the lulumat. That's the way that it moves forward, inshallah. We would like to talk more about this, but I will hold it for now. But it's very important that we reflect on a very important part of what it means to go overboard and sidestep the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to be able to understand this better, I want you to come with me to Karbala. On this day, the 2nd of Muharram, 61st Hijrah, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam arrives on the plains of Karbala. And in this situation, after everybody is settled, Imam al-Husayn grabs his pen and a paper, like a parchment, and he composes what is called the shortest but yet the most profound letter Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam writes in his life. Very short letter. Very short, very brief. And who is he writing this letter to? And this has been narrated on the authority and attributed to Imam Al-Baqir alayhi afdalu salati wa salam. Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, Ibn Qulawi narrates this from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he says, Imam says, كتب الحسين ابن علي عليهما السلام إلى محمد ابن علي من كربلاء. Imam al-Husayn writes a letter to his brother Muhammad al-Hanafiya. Muhammad ibn Ali here is Muhammad al-Hanafiya, his stepbrother, his younger brother obviously, who was left behind in Medina. His last letter of Imam al-Husayn in his life. And it's not narrated that he wrote anything else after this. What does he write? This will be the basis of our discussion today. I will read the letter for you. I will translate it. But then I would like to go deeper into the meaning of this letter, inshallah ta'ala. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam writes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila Muhammad ibn Ali wa man qabalah. Wa man qabilah. The ones who are around Muhammad and Muhammad, I am writing a letter for them. Right? So he is basically addressing وَمَنْ قِبَلَهُ مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ, pardon me. So Imam al-Husayn is writing a letter to his brother and he's addressing all of the Bani Hashim who are with him. Are you ready for this, inshallah? Two sentences. He says, أَمَّا بَعْد فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. That's it. Two sentences. I'll repeat. فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ. As if the akhirah, please mark the words, it's not saying the akhirah, it's saying as if the akhirah. pardon me, as if the dunya, فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ, as if the dunya never existed. وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ, and as if the akhirah always endured. Wassalam. That's the end of the letter. What does the imam mean here? What is the imam conveying here? We can understand that there's two concepts he's pinpointing right now. He's talking about the dunya and he's talking about the akhirah. What is he saying about the dunya? He's saying it seems as if. Now, when the imam says it seems, it's not simply conjecture. It's not an assumption. Imam knows the haqiqah of this dunya. He has the ilm of what the dunya is all about. He is writing to his brother Muhammad al-Hanafiya. He's saying, as if the dunya never existed. And he's looking at the akhirah and he's saying, as if the akhirah always was present. That's it. That's the last letter of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now everybody at their own level will try to understand what the imam is trying to say here. But it's very profound. I was asking one of my teachers, and I asked him, Ustaz, what does this letter mean? What is in there? What is Imam al-Husayn trying to tell us here? He's saying this is the secret to the greatest ma'arif that we have out there. Inshallah, if you're with me, please recite a salawat and come closer as much as possible. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah. Another salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, to understand the words of Imam al-Husayn at whatever capacity we have, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase their capacity to understand the words of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. He is telling us the secret to the essence of what we have, where we are. I have to backtrack a little to yesterday's discussion now, where I talked about the takween. I talked about the nizam and the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has created. Whatever you see here, whatever you see around you, the physical realm of existence, including not only this earth and the solar system and the galaxies and the Milky Way and beyond it to all the galaxies out there, all the stars and planets and whatever there is in the whole universe, that even the astronomers are unable to define where the limits of this universe are. All of this is the lowest realm of existence. All of it. And all of it is one drop in the ocean that is the next higher realm of existence. One drop in the ocean of the higher, next higher realm of existence. Just for us to start to understand it, right? Now, the scientists will only limit themselves to the study of the universe and whatever is inside the universe, correct? Scientists cannot tell us anything that goes beyond the physics and the physical realm of existence. Whatever is material, the scientists will do the scientific research and they'll tell you this is this and this is that. Beyond that, our sources tell us, our ahadith and the Quran itself says there are seven realms of existence, one on top of the other. One on top of the other. As if it's a core. This one is the smallest, the one that we live on, the universe. Each successive layer is like an ocean compared to a drop compared to the lower realm of existence. So you can imagine going all the way, seven realms of existence. Our minds cannot fathom it because of our limited capacity. We're finite, we're limited. We can understand a little, we can conceptualize it, but we cannot understand what it truly means. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran is telling us a secret to all of this. He says, all of what you see is actually descended from the most topmost level. whatever is on the bottom level here, this realm of existence, it all originates in the topmost layer of existence, topmost realm of existence. And the verse of the Quran says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. There is not a single thing that you see, whatever you can call a thing, everything, every person, every being. There's not a single thing, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ, except for that we have a treasure for each one of them. We have the treasures of those things from which they originate with us. Allah is saying that. إِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. Then what happens? Oh Allah, how does it get here? He says, وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And we do not let it descend except in a little or a known measure. So everything that is here, it is in a specific measure, in a specific quantity. أَقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides the measure of everything. He decides the measure of everybody's life. He decides the measure of everybody's risk. And obviously, we have a hand, we have a willpower. Inshallah, I'll come to that discussion later in one of the sessions. How do we interact with this qadr and qadha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But for now, let's understand this, that at this realm of existence, everything is coming from up above. We have also come from up above. Our bodies are from this realm of existence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He fashioned the human being and He said, وَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ, when I have fashioned him, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, and when I blow into him from my spirit, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, He tells the angels, then you prostrate down to him, to the first human being. Right? Not going to the story of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, but for now I want us to realize that we as human beings are created in this way. Long story short, we have a lower level of life and we have a higher level of life. Our bodies that we have are connected to the lower material realm of existence. They take their nutrition, their food, their needs for survival for the body from this lower realm of existence. Right? But is that it? Is that what we are as a human being? Kya haqeeqat insaan sirf uska badan hai? Wo badan jo jismani hai? Aur jis jo sirf is zumre se, is khilqat ke ادنا ترین مرحلے سے اپنا غذا اپنی جو ضروریات زندگی ہیں اسے پاتا ہے اور وہ بس اینڈ آف سٹوری وہیں ہے کہانی ختم بلکہ انسان کی حقیقت اس کا بدن نہیں ہے اگر بدن حقیقت ہوتا تو آپ اس ہاتھ کو میں کہتے میرا نہیں کہتے اس بدن کو میں کہتے میرا نہیں کہتے جب آپ کہہ رہے ہیں کہ یہ میرا بدن ہے یہ میرا ہاتھ ہے یہ میرا سر ہے یہ میں نہیں ہوں میرا ہے اس کا مطلب آپ کی حقیقت کچھ اور ہے جو دکھائی نہیں دے رہی ہے The human being, the essence, the reality of the human being is not the badan and not the body. It's the soul of the human being. And brothers and sisters, this is where the issue comes in. This is where the challenge comes in. This is where the insan falls into nisyan. The word insan comes from the word nisyan, which means forgetfulness. The human being always forgets that its reality is not this body. It's rather the soul, but unfortunately it forgets. And when it forgets that the reality is the soul, it forgets the akhirah. It forgets the higher form of life that the human soul is capable of reaching. It only thinks that this badan and this low form of life is the true life, and I have to live only for this life. I have to live for feeding myself and my children, and I just have to work so that I can have a house and a car and the basics of life that I need. And I will only make myself mashghul and busy in this basic low form of life. Why? Because I've forgotten what my real essence is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran keeps reminding us all the time, أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Have you made yourself pleased and satisfied with the dunya, with the life that is low? The word dunya comes from the word adna or dunu, which means low, past in Urdu. Kya tumne ae insaan apne aap ko pasti se apne aap ko razi kar liya hai? Pasti mein rehna chahte ho? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. The hadith, beautiful hadith that says from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi afdalu salati wa salam. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, your body, no, your soul has no worth except Jannah. So do not shortchange yourself for anything that is less than that. Aapki qadr sirf jannat ke ivaz mein aur kuch nahi hai. Insaan ki rooh, insaan ka nafs, insaan ki rooh jo hai, insaan ki haqeeqat jo hai, it is meant to be in Jannah. The actual value of the human being is Jannah. So what happened? Why do some human beings don't end up in Jannah? Because they forget about it. Because they forget to realize that they have to work for their soul and not only for their body. Brothers and sisters, yahin pe masla shuru hota hai. Yahin par agar insaan apne aap ko samjha le ki dunya fani hai. Kullu man alaiha fan. The human being needs to realize that everything on this dunya, this low level of life, is going to perish. Nothing here is going to stay. Nothing here is going to live forever. Everything here is going to perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who are considered the wajh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever. That's a whole discussion on its own. Who are the wajhullah? Who have the capacity to become the wajh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is saying those who have the wajh, who are wajh rabbika, dhul jalali wal ikram, they will be baqi. And everything else will perish. Brothers and sisters, here we need to remind ourselves that if we want to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our legs, our hand, our bodies will be shackled and entangled if we only think about the dunya as our goal for life. Only the dunya. But we will free ourselves if we think about the akhirah alongside the dunya. Rather, consider the dunya to be part of the akhirah. That's how the Ahlul Bayt lived their lives, by the way. The Ahlul Bayt never forgot that they had to feed their bodies. They never forgot that they had to clothe their bodies. They never forgot that they had to have a house to live in to survive and to protect their bodies. They took good care of their bodies, no doubt. But they put all of their energies to build their souls and to build the souls of others. And this is where the hadith reminds us that beware. Your greatest enemy is the nafs that is inside you. A'da aduwak. Nafsuka allati bayna jambayk. Your greatest enemy, the greatest enemy, is this nafs that always makes you forget the akhirah, this nafs amara, that always wants you to engage in the haram pleasures of the dunya and forget the halal, forget the hereafter. And that is your most despicable, dangerous enemy ever. أحد عدوك نفسك التي بين جنبيك. But on the other hand, if you let this soul realize that the body is not the only goal, it's the soul itself, it's the akhirah itself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. You'll be successful. You'll be totally victorious. Inshallah ta'ala. صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدْ. Brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah give us this opportunity to look at our souls and move forward. I would like to very briefly move into two stories from the Holy Quran that explain this situation and how the dunya becomes manifest into our day-to-day lives so that it takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're scary stories, by the way. So I'll give you not only viewer discretion, but listener discretion, inshallah. But before I get to that, there's an interesting hadith narrated from Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And I'll come to the gist of the hadith, where Imam alayhi salam is telling us what is going to entangle you the most on your progress and your journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the gist of it is in these words, five words. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. The love of this world, not this world as in this earth. I'm not telling you don't be environmentally friendly. That's not what is meant here. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا means the infatuation with just being able to fulfill the bodily and the material pleasures with an extra emphasis in a haram way. That is what is meant here. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the infatuation of the human being to fulfill their bodily and their sensual and their material whims and fancies and their pleasures through a haram means is what is being meant here. رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ is the source of all mistakes and slips and sins. Oh Imam, what do you mean here? What do you mean by حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا? One example of حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا in the hadith of Imam alayhi salam is حُبُّ الرِّئَاسَةِ. I want to be the leader. I want to be at the front. Everybody needs to listen to me. My word, my way, or the highway. That's حُبُّ الرِّئَاسَةِ. I want to be the leader. I want everybody to follow me. Whether I have the qualifications, if I have the authority, if I have the knowledge to be the leader, doesn't matter. I want to be the leader. That's حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. Another one is حُبُّ النِّسَاءِ. This is a code for sensual pleasures that are of the haram type. Halal type is all halal, it's for the akhirah. Rather, it's very interesting, inshallah, one of our discussions will get to that, that when you engage in the dunya in the halal way, you're actually not working for the dunya, you're working for the akhirah. Why is it said that when a young person gets married, they save two-thirds of their deen? They are engaging in some of those sensual pleasures that Allah has made halal. But Allah is saying you protect two-thirds of your deen when you in a state of being young and youthful, you get married. Isn't that protecting the akhirah? It is. When you go down the halal way, you are making your akhirah solid. But if you go down the haram way, you are actually engaged in حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. And in our society around us, that's what is being promoted. That is what is being taught, rather, in high schools, in middle schools, nay, elementary schools. It's come to this. From kindergarten onwards, these concepts are being put into the hearts and minds of our children. Guess what will happen when they grow up? Hubb al-dunya will be part of their life. That will be the biggest obstacle for them to progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on. Another form of hubb al-dunya is hubb al-raha. Always wanting comfort in life. I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be in my comfort zone. You know, don't disturb me. You know, I just want to have, you know, my way. You know, I just want on my space. You know, take my donation, I'll be okay, inshallah. Don't ask me to volunteer, right? Don't ask me to give my relaxing time towards something that the community needs or the religion needs, that Imam al-Hussein's mission needs, for example. No, I just want to relax. I just want to have my schedule. I want to hang out with my friends. I just want to stay up all night. I want to have, you know, X, Y, and Z menu for my food. And that's actually another one. حب الأكل, as been mentioned in one of the forms of حب الدنيا. This infatuation with food. Bhai, agar biryani nahi milegi, to mera din khatam nahi hoga, masalan. Agar maine chicken tikka nahi khaya, to qayamat a jayegi. Is tarah ka, agar koi banda ho to. Hubbul akil, right? But these are all, and there are many examples, right? But I'll mention two more, and then I'll wrap up, inshallah, this part. One more is hubbul kalam. A person always wants to talk, and talk. Doesn't want anybody else to get a chance to speak. Whenever they're in a gathering, everybody knows, once they start talking, there's no stopping. Hubbul kalam. It's that type of, you know, uluv, that I am better, I know better. My words are better. Everybody has to listen to me. Yeah? Another one is hubbul ulu. And this is very interesting, actually. This verse of the Holy Quran actually tells us, and I'll come back to that verse later, inshallah. But hubbul ulu means I am better. That's what it is. I love being better, and I want everybody to know and feel and realize that I am better than everybody else. That is hubb al-dunya. If somebody has this, they will have all kinds of akhlaqi bimariya. They will have all kinds of ethical and moral illnesses. From takabbur, from ghurur, from hasad, from bughz, from adawa, enmity, jealousy, you know, anger management issues. They'll have, you know, arrogance, you name it, all kinds of bimariya, all kinds of issues. Amrad of the khuluq will be in them because of hubbud dunya. Because they just want to worship the dunya and the lower realm of existence and forget the akhirah. May Allah protect us from this. Because if we don't hold ourselves responsible now, it'll be too late. And I'll tell you how it'll be late. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I may not have enough time for both stories. I'll try and wrap it up, but I do wish to wrap up sooner, inshallah. There's two stories in the Holy Quran that are very inspiring yet core-shaking. One is the story of a person who was so infatuated with the dunya, and this dunya was a very tangible, materialistic dunya, right? And this person in the Holy Quran is a person called Qarun. Now, interestingly, both stories that I will narrate today are from the Bani Israel. They're both in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Both of them were supposed to be followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And interestingly, their hubb al-dunya led them away from the wali of Allah that was Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So one lesson I must share here very importantly is, whatever you say and do, whatever you believe in, if you don't let hubb al-dunya away from you, it will eventually lead you to disobey the wali of Allah of the time. It will. If I don't let hubbu dunya away from you, right now I am saying ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah, for example, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. I say I am the follower of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. But if I have hubbu dunya in my heart, if I have the infatuation with the haram pleasures of this dunya, it will one day stand between me and the Imam of the time. And this is what happened on the day of Ashura. When Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was constantly reminding the people on the other side, and he was calling out to them, do you not realize I am the grandson of Rasulullah? Do you not realize I am the son of Ali and Fatima? Do you not realize I am Husayn ibn Ali? Not only they did not listen, they started making sounds. As they say, hilhile. They started making those sounds that would drown the noise and the voice of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, pardon me. That was the state. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam turns to them and he says, I am sure you will not be able to hear my voice. لِأَنَّمَا مُلِئَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ بِالْحَرَامِ. You will not be able to hear my voice even because your bellies are filled with haram. Brothers and sisters, here I will pause. And in connection with hubbu dunya, our greatest challenges in the akhiru zaman, and we're assuming that we are in the last times, but the fitnas of the akhiru zaman are going to be centered on two areas. This I am saying based on the research of the signs of akhiru zaman. If you look at all the signs that talk about which zaman will be the akhiru zaman, which era will be the last era before the coming of the Imam, you can put all of those signs of reappearance of the Imam in two categories. And the Quran beautifully puts them in front of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Indeed, only and only your mal, your possessions, your property, your entitlements, and your children, your family, will be a means of testing you. All of the signs of akhiru zaman are either tests of the mal or they're tests of the awlad. And for this reason, I know in the majlis we won't have enough time to cover them, but we are having two workshop sessions. One, to make sure we learn and have a sense of where our mal can become impure. And how do we protect our mal from becoming impure and protect our bellies from being filled with haram. Here, haram does not only mean haram meat, by the way. It's not only haram ingredients that we're talking about. Any action that causes our mal and our wealth and our property to become impure is going to be called filling our bellies with haram. And we need to have an awareness. In this day and age, we need to protect our mal from becoming impure. Inshallah, this Sunday, 10 to 12, please register for the course. And inshallah, the following Sunday, which will be our last day, we will have a discussion on how to protect our awlad. And I'm going to be very clear here. We're not only talking about madrasa or Islamic school only. We're talking about the whole progress of the child from the time they're conceived all the way to the time that they have to be let go and be independent. Islam has a program for this whole time. And inshallah, then following Sunday, July 30th, in the morning, 11 to 1, we will have another session on Islamic education system. I invite brothers and sisters both to register, and inshallah, we'll have detailed discussions on this. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Very quickly, Qarun was a person from the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and he was such a wealthy person The state of his wealth was such that the keys of the treasure boxes would be loaded together, and people of muscle men, would have to carry those chests, not with the gold, the keys to the treasure boxes of Qarun and load them onto camels. You can imagine how wealthy he was. The multi-billionaire of the time was Qarun, right? Now, he was such a person that he would boast, takabbur, arrogance, right? And the Quran in detail goes into the details. I won't recite the verses, unfortunately, time is limited. But he would be somebody that when people would look at him and see his arrogance, they would tell him, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever Allah has given you from the wealth, make use of it to protect and create your akhirah. But do not forget your share from the world and from the life of this dunya. So have your pleasures that are halal. No worries about that. But use your wealth and all what Allah has given you and all the potentials and the skills that Allah has given you to make your akhirah. What was his response? He would say, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. No worries. I don't need people to advise me. I have acquired and amassed all this based on the knowledge that I have with me. In our lingo, it's my education that has gotten me here. It's my degrees that have made me a professional. And my skills that have made me come to this level where I am able to invest and make money and mint money. That's what his response was. What happened to him? He was a person who opposed the wali of Allah of the time, Nabi Musa. And eventually I'm just cutting short the story. The place that he was on, his castle, his palace was, it was swollen down into the ground. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ, as the Quran tells us. Now, this was a reminder for those people who were inclined towards the dunya. They were all infatuated with the way Qarun was boasting. And when they realized that this is the end of the person who goes in the search of the dunya, they all set back. They took a step back. But brothers and sisters, this is just one example in the Holy Quran. And I urge you to go into the story of Qarun. It's in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 76 onwards, inshallah. Please do so. And look at the verses very beautifully and vividly. They encapsulate the state of a person who was infatuated with the dunya, but at the material level. Brothers and sisters, this is another story that I would like to share. And as they say in Urdu, rongte khade ho jate hain isme. Bal insan ke khade ho jayenge is story ko sunke, is qisse ko sunke. And this is another story where religious people fall into the trap of the dunya. Religious people. A person who is materialistic, a person who is always infatuated with money, we understand. He's anyways away from religion. So he will be a very easy target for the shaitan, correct? But a religious person, how is that possible? Shaitan is not sitting idle. Shaitan has his ways to get to religious people as well through religion. Through manipulating religion. Through making religion look different from what it actually should look like. And this is a very interesting story. Another one from the time of Bani Israel, from the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and this is the story of a person called Bal'am Ba'ura. And the Quran also talks about him, and this is in Surah, pardon me again, Al-A'raf 175. Surah Al-A'raf, this is the story of Bal'am Ba'ura. His name is not mentioned there, but the Quran says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. Now the state of this person, Bal'am, is so high that he is so religious, he's such an abid, he's such a worshipper, he is apparently a person of purity that Allah says in the Quran, آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا, we have given him our signs. What were some of the signs? People would come to him and ask him to do dua, and when he would raise his hands and do dua, that dua would become mustajab. The dua would be fulfilled. That was a sign that was given to him because of his high level of purity. But something changed. And this is another reminder that do not look at people on the outside. Do not look at people, if they were pure in the past, means they will always remain pure. This person was pure till the time he was pure. Allah gave him his signs and he was mustajab al-da'wah. He would have his du'as fulfilled whenever he would raise his hands for du'a. But time came when Nabi Musa started to preach his mission and people started to go towards Nabi Musa because he was the wali of Allah, the Nabi of Allah of the time. In his heart started jealousy and hasad. Such was the jealousy that he started to go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started to oppose the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started to make friends with the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much was important, this hubb al-dunya, this hubb al-ri'asa, this hubb of being at the top and being the leader was so strong in him. He felt that, you know, up until now, till the time I was raising my hands for dua, people were flocking to me and they would come to me. I would pray for them. Their du'as would be fulfilled. What happened suddenly that people have gone away from me? Who is this Musa? It flipped. Religious person. Hasad came into his heart. He flipped. He flipped to that level that he put his hands in the hands of the Fir'aun of the time. He made friends with the Fir'aun and Shaitan was working behind the scenes. He told him that Shaitan got to him to that level. It followed him step by step, pulling him, dragging him away from Allah and the Wali of Allah of the time. To that level that when he fell into a trap and he was being hung on the gallows, Shaitan appears to him and tells him, there's only one way you can be saved, and that is if you do sajda to me. And this Bal'am Ba'ura does sajda to Shaitan and he is hung and he is killed. Imagine where he was and where he ended up. Religious person. Story in the Quran. Whenever I listen and I read the story, it really shakes me. Am I religious in the true sense? Or am I religious because there is an ego that is wanting me to show myself religious? There is an image that I have created about myself that I know people respect me because they see me as religious. But inside my core, I am not religious because I am not doing all of this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am doing it for the sake of hubb al-dunya. On the zahir, I am religious. Inside me, I am shaytani. Na'udhu billah min thalik. Nastajiru billah min thalik. This is what will drag people away from the wali of Allah, away from the wali of Allah of the time. Brothers and sisters, coming back to the hadith of Imam al-Husayn, and I'm wrapping it up, inshallah. Imam al-Husayn in his letter, when he wrote, فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ. Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam, for 2 months of the year, beginning of the year, he comes with his presence to bring us out of the dunya and show us the akhirah. Connect us back to the akhirah. Brothers and sisters, I am not saying these words. This is not just balagat. This is not khitabat. This is the reality. You want to see where this reality shows itself? You come for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. You feel that nothing else matters from the dunya. When you listen to the masaib of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, nothing of the dunya matters to you. Come one step forward. When you go to Arba'een, you see people, they're so infatuated with Hubb al-Husayn that Hubb al-Dunya is the last thing on their plate, on their minds. You have a people who really see the Akhirah and they want to give up their dunya for their Akhirah. I have instances of people telling me, these people who run the mokibs of Arba'een for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, these people are not rich. These people are of low means. But they save all year, rather they take a qarz and they take a loan for the days of Arba'een to make niyaz and nadhr for the zuwar of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. What is happening here? فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ, as if the dunya never existed for these people. فَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ, as if the akhirah always was there for them. They always looked at the akhirah. They never paid attention to the dunya. They collected all what they have for their dunya and they give it in the name of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam because they know their dunya and akhirah is al-Husayn. Are we there yet? That's the question for us. It's nice when we see these mu'mineen who serve the zuwar. But can we become like them truly? Can we give up our dunya for the sake of our akhirah? And if we can move in these nights, 10 nights of Muharram, away from the dunya even one step, and towards the akhirah one step, we are fulfilling what Imam alayhi salam writes in his last letter. فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ, as if the dunya never existed. وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ, as if the akhirah was always present. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, in tonight and the nights to come, we would like to remember the ashab of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, these true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these true men of the akhirah who sidestepped their dunya. We find in one of the narrations that there are people who never followed Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, but when they realized that the akhirah was with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, they came towards him. Tonight we remember Zuhair, the companion who was not a companion of Imam al-Husayn up until the last few nights. We remember somebody who was so much into the dunya, but he never realized that the akhirah was with Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. They are mentioning about the companions of Zuhair that they say, when we left towards Kufa and towards Karbala, we were alongside the caravan of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. But Zuhair was not politically aligned to Imam Ali and the Hashimis. He was politically aligned to Uthman ibn Affan. And he felt that Uthman was killed as a martyr, as a shaheed, and he always felt that the family of Rasulullah and the family of Amir al-Mu'mineen had a hand in the killing of Uthman. So therefore, he always kept aloof from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He did not want to meet with Imam. But then they say that whenever Imam al-Husayn would move between two manazil, between two stations, they would stop. And whenever Imam al-Husayn would stop, they would move between the two stations. So much so that one night, when they stopped at one of the stations, and they were sitting to eat their meal, they realized that Imam al-Husayn had also stopped at that station. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam sent one of his messengers towards Zuhair, and he said, ask Zuhair to come and see me. At this moment, when the messenger comes in to meet with Zuhair ibn Qayn, and he says, the son of Rasulullah asks you to come and see him, everybody who was there eating stops eating. There is complete silence in the tent. And Zuhair is looking down and he is wondering what should he say. This is where the wife of Zuhair comes forward and says, oh Zuhair, what has happened to you? The son of Fatima is calling you and you are thinking whether you want to go meet with him? At that moment, and this is a very important point, brothers and sisters, when you remember Fatimatu Zahra, it never lets you think of the dunya. Because Fatimatu Zahra is somebody who gave all of her dunya for the akhirah. And not only for her own akhirah, for the akhirah of everybody who loves her. So much so that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Fatimatu Zahra salamullahi alayha, come and take your Shia and the Shia of your children and your lovers and the lovers of your children and take them with you to Jannah. Fatimatu Zahra is there to make our akhirah. Here when the wife of Zuhair calls out to him and says, go, the son of Fatima is calling you. Zuhair stands up from his place and he goes towards the tent of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. The state in which he goes is a state of anxiety, a state of being unsure and uncertain about what will happen. But we don't know what happened inside the tent of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. But when Zuhair comes out of the tent, he realizes, and the people realize around him that he is so happy, he's full of happiness, he is smiling. And they say, what happened to you, Zuhair? He says, I have found my path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you all are free to go wherever you want to go. He says to his wife, you are free to go wherever you would like to go. And I give you all my wealth and I have made my akhirah. I am going with the son of Fatima. And he joins Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, this is where the dunya needs to be put aside. And when you find the akhirah, it's so much sweeter. When Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam on the night of Ashura calls out to his companions and he says, I am blowing out the candle. You can go wherever you want to go. These people only want to fight me. Zuhair is one of the first companions to stand up and say, oh, Yabna Rasulullah, if they were to cut me into pieces and let all of my blood drain from me so that I can save you, I will not move from my spot. Ajrukum ala Allah. Brothers and sisters, this is the same Zuhair who stands alongside Sa'id ibn Abdullah to protect Imam al-Husayn when he stands for his Salat al-Dhuhr on the day of Ashura. And Zuhair stands, and he stands firm. And this is when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam stands to recite his Salat al-Khawf. And Imam al-Husayn is praying those two rakat salat. And Sa'id ibn Abdullah Ansari is standing in front of him. Zuhair ibn Qayn is standing on the side and protecting him from the arrows. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam finishes his prayer. And when he finishes his prayer, he sees Zuhair has all arrows upon him. Zuhair goes to fight, but very quickly he falls onto the ground. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam runs towards him and he calls out to Zuhair. He consoles him. He puts his head on his lap and he consoles Zuhair, and Zuhair passes away from this world. But brothers and sisters, apna dil tham ke sochiyega, jab Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ka akhri waqt aata hai, to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam apne zin pe سوار ہیں کوئی ایسی کمان نہیں جو زمین پہ نہ ہو کوئی ایسا تیر نہیں جو کمان سے نہ نکلا ہو کوئی ایسی تلوار نہیں جو نیام میں نہ ہو کوئی ایسا نیزہ نہیں جو کھڑا نہ ہو سب وار امام حسین علیہ السلام پر کرتے ہیں یبن الزہرا ایک جھلک سے ایک مومن پہ وہ آ کر زمین پہ گرنے لگتے ہیں امام کی پکار گونجتی ہے بسم اللہ و باللہ و فی سبیل اللہ و علی ملت رسول اللہ الا لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین و سیعلم الذین ظلموا آل محمد ایام قلب ینقلبون. We ask Allah to rid our hearts of حب الدنيا and to make our hearts filled with the love of Al-Husayn alayhi salam and to prepare us for the آخرة. ماتم حسین.